We have the special blessing tonight of Ramon's ministry. And it's just always such a blessing to be encouraged by this brother. We love you, man.
Thank you, man.
You're just such a blessing to it.
Okay, let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We just know everything is in your hands. We just know this precious couple going out, Lord Jesus, it's in your will. Lord Jesus, we just know all these changes that are coming before us. You're in control. You've never given that up. We know that. Lord, we just speak in confidence that you're our Lord. You're almighty. Cover and bless us all in this season, this new season. We pray these things in your holy name, Jesus Christ. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Okay, so I have a message. Pastor Barbara asked if I would share something, and this is a little different. The Lord has been speaking to me on something, and it's in a different way. For years, I've always done a lot of deep study, deep into the text, and to pull a message out. But the Lord just kept giving this to me. It's about something new. And it's interesting because, again, you know the spirits in this church when the messages that Denise gave last Wednesday and Pastor Barbara gave on Sunday, they kind of knit together. Can't explain it, but they do. Okay? The title of this message is New Wine. Yes. It works, and it works well. Okay? New wine. It works, and it works well. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 5. Again, this message is going to be different. It's not going to be like super text heavy. I'm actually going to be using a lot of things. This, the Lord has just spoken to me and examples he's been giving me. So this is in Luke chapter 5. There's parallel messages if you're an avid student in Matthew chapter 9 and also in Mark chapter 2. So anytime the Lord puts it three times, it must be really important. Okay? So I'm going to read from Luke 5, 33 through 39. Okay? And this is the New King James. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise, those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And he said to them, let me stop. Who's talking? They. Who are they? In the other text, it says the disciples of John. Okay? And him, this is the Lord. My Bible, it's capital H. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Then he spoke a parable to them. "No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better." Okay? So, I started going through this like how I normally do. I open up my Greek Bible and I start looking. I'll tell you some of the things I did dig out of it, which is really cool, is the word new. He actually used the Lord, you know, the Lord wrote these words through the hand of Luke. But he used two words for new. And when you see that, it's like, why did he do that? Because he did it on purpose. We know every word in this in the Bible is inspired. He used one word, naos, which means youthful. Okay? He used another word, kairos, which a lot of us have heard that word. It means seasons. And I'm going to go more through this, but remember these two words, youthful and seasons. Okay? And there was one other word that just really stuck out. And matter of fact, I heard Pastor Barbara use this. I think it was Sunday, actually. Symphonia in Greek is how it's pronounced. It's where we get the word symphony. That part where it says there in the text, it says, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new one does not match the old. That kind of sounds like, you know, someone doing a sewing project. It says, oh, it just doesn't match, you know, the color. That's symphonia. It doesn't have harmony. Okay? And we're gonna take this a little deeper again. Okay? So I'm going to make a statement, and I think all of you will agree, that Jesus Christ came to make all things new, right? I'm a new man. I'm not the person I was a day ago. I'm not a person I was certainly 25 years ago when I got saved. I'm new. Yeah. The Lord wants us to have new. I preach this all the time when I go to Mexico, whether in the prison or in the rehab. And I always ask this question, like, how many of you guys want something old? And I occasionally have a joker say, yeah, I want my old life back. And so my new thing, I used to like pretend to stomp on a spider and say, okay, open up your mouth. It's an old one. No, I had something new. Say, I got some tortillas that are a month and a half old at my house. Do you want it? No, it's old. It's yucky. It's moldy. It's disgusting. That's what the Lord, he wants us to have new. Yeah. I went to Mexico on Tuesday, and I bought new tortillas at my favorite tortilleria. You could smell it outside walking in, and it's like, oh, and the new ones, and they're still warm, and oh, they're so good. That's what I want. I want new. We deserve new. I even tell the drug addicts, I say, you guys, everyone here deserves new. You don't want to go back to the old. You want new. Okay? So I'm going to talk a little bit about wine. Okay? Because the Lord says new wine. Okay? It's something that, I don't know, since I've been a Christian, most American Christians are, I want to say, kind of, they don't even touch alcohol. We don't. We don't have anything in my house. But wine is something that, you know, when we would go to France, it's different there. French people are different. You don't see them pound down a bottle of wine and pass out. They just don't. They serve wine at the table, you know, a family. Okay? They have a bottle. And, you know, they have little, you know, of course, French style, really pretty little crystal, Sam knows because she went with me to France, little crystal cups, and you know, and but there's something to wine that the people in the Lord's day knew. It's like, first of all, they knew how it was made. Most of us just don't. So in Bible times, actually, I got this book years ago. This is really cool. It says The New Manners and Customs of Bible Times. And it goes to like the archaeology of, you know, well, how did they make wine? And why did they do it that way? Well, you know how they did it? It's called vintage time. When it was time to harvest the grapes, the people, not just a couple people, the people went out. And groups of people, families went out, and they harvested the grapes real fast. They didn't wait around all day. They didn't wait around for weeks. They had a time and they did it. And you know what? It was a joyful time. People look forward to the vintage time when they reaped. And then what they did, then they brought it to a wine press. It literally was a place where people would take their shoes off and they'd squish the grapes with their feet. And they would get grape juice, right? That's how they make wine. And then what they would do is they would put it into containers and they'd let it ferment for, the number I read was 6 weeks. Okay? So you have these three things. You have the vintage, which is a harvest. You have the press. And then you have a time of, I'll call it preparation. Okay? Where it changes. Okay? So we have three things. Okay? I'm going to read one more scripture out of Acts chapter 2. I think all of us kind of know where I'm going on this. Okay? Acts chapter 2. I think most everyone here probably has most of this memorized. Okay? Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. Okay? Again, New King James. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And verse 9 through 10 tells where they came from. 11. And verse 12 said, they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Okay? And here's the mockers. Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. Okay? So most of us have heard this. Most of us know. Then Peter gives this fantastic sermon and tons of people come to the Lord. So I'm going to talk what was new about this day of Pentecost. They were one accord. They were one accord. What does that mean? They were in agreement. And there's power in agreement. That's one thing I've learned from these pastors. Wow. There's power in agreement. When we have agreement, there's power. Okay? And then what else happened? Things just flowed. They were in agreement. It's okay, go back to the making of wine. The workers are in agreement. They pick a day. They pick a field or a vineyard, and they harvest, okay? And then what do? Then they press it together, okay? And then it's prepared, and then it becomes new wine. So I've heard people teach new wine is juice. It really isn't. There is alcohol in it. Okay, it's wine, okay? When we go to France, you know, they don't have the alcohol-free wine. They just don't. It's, okay, yeah, okay. So actually, Samantha and I had an experience. This is after my father died. We went to a place in France the family, for hundreds of years, had been vintners. It's a place in France where they make wine. And I sat down with a man whose father used to be the mentor. Actually, I met his father 15 years ago when she was a baby. And he kind of taught me about wine. He said, oh, yeah. Okay, you look at it and all this stuff, you know, the color, the smell, and it's really complicated. And anyway, one of the things that I've learned is... It's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a preparation thing. The wine doesn't... Okay, the flesh says wine is something to get drunk on. Uh-uh. The wine in the Bible represents... It's the Spirit. You know, when we partake of communion, the wine represents the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. There is a point of agreement. When two or three are together, when there is agreement, there is power. And then there's a time of pressing. And sometimes, I didn't do a word study on the word pressing, but I have a good idea what it means. It means something that's rough on us. It kind of changes us. And over the last 4 years since we've moved down here, the Lord has really pressed me. And it's been good. When the Lord does the pressing, it's a good thing. Eric and Denise, you're going to be pressed. And you're probably feeling it right now. You're going to be pressed, but the Lord's going to take you through it. And he's going to bring out a good thing. A good thing. And then there's the time of what you get. You get the wine. So anyway, we're at this, Samantha and I were at this vintner's house. 100-year, I mean, the house was commissioned by one of the King Louis. I don't remember. And he taught us about wine. He said, this is how we do it. And the interesting thing was 15 years ago, when she was a baby, his father actually brought a bottle of wine, put it on the table. And he said, look whose name is on that bottle. And it was Thomas Jefferson. And it really was Thomas Jefferson's name on the bottle. And he served it. And if you do a Google search, Thomas Jefferson went to that part of France to learn how to make wine. And this man served this bottle to, Samantha was a baby, so she won't remember. But Melissa was there. And it was a good thing. It was hundreds of years old. And we're going to go a little bit more about wine. But new wine. The old is good. Yeah. But I'll be honest. I couldn't tell. It just tastes like wine. I don't know. It was old and it had Thomas Jefferson's name right there. So it must be good. But new wine. Moving of the Spirit. I want what these people in Book of Acts, you know, the wine thing is not that important. I want to see a moving like Acts chapter 2. I want to see that where our people are in one accord and there's a rushing and moving of the Holy Spirit and miracles happen. Okay. So, and a great harvest. And it gets pressed down, prepared, and becomes something good. Becomes wine. Okay? So, all right. So, I'm not going to talk anymore about wine. But I'm going to talk about new. New and fresh. And I'm going to make a statement I think all of us agree. The world is waiting for something new. And if you don't believe that, read the news. Because they're really confused. Here's one thing I learned about new. Is Satan, he don't have anything new. It's the same old stuff. You read about immorality, it's just, he just changes, you know, the appearance of it and maybe the names and stuff, but the immorality hasn't changed. Satan is not creative. And I'm going to make a statement, I think we all agree, God is. He can make new things. He can change what's old. He can change what is stagnant and make new. That's his business. That's who he is. Okay? So the world is waiting for something new and fresh. Okay, good. I think we all agree on that. Okay? And again, I think I've said this before. Years ago, not that many years ago, but I worked as an engineer. And maybe it's something, and my dad was an engineer too. And I've always had a passion. I like things that work. Okay? And in my life, I've seen three different things. I've seen things that don't work. I've seen things that used to work. And I've seen things that work. Okay? Three things. Okay? Okay. And one of the things when I preach, it happens occasionally. It hasn't happened a whole lot, but occasionally I've had people in Mexico ask me, okay, I believe everything you're telling me, but how do I do it? That's what the world's waiting for us to show them. He's waiting for us to show him how to do it. Mitch, show me how to do it. I'm stuck. I don't know how to do it. Okay. So first I'm going to go over things that don't work. And some of these are real obvious. And one of the things I've learned is I think we've all been around people who are critical, okay? And they do this to people. They say, you know, actually Mitch posted a Facebook post. It was, whoo, scary, man. The Christians act like that. You shouldn't be like this. Well, I'm gonna make a statement right now. The people who are living in sin, they already know it doesn't work. You don't need to do this to people. They already know it doesn't work. Okay, I could go down the list, but I'm not. I mean, sexual sin. Okay, that's a big, big, big thing. You're in sexual sin, and it don't work. It just doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. Okay? I'm going to go, when I go preach to the drug addicts, I don't have to tell them, shooting up with heroin doesn't work. No, they're only saying, yeah, I know it doesn't work. I had a guy Tuesday. He showed me his arm. You know, had the tracks up and down his arm from injecting heroin. I didn't have to tell him, Rico, that stuff doesn't work. He's like, I need to change. Okay? Other things that don't work. I'm going to get a little bit closer. Okay? False religions. You know, people are involved in the false religion. They know it doesn't work because they're not satisfied. Works don't satisfy. You know, the door knockers that come on Saturdays, they're not happy people. You don't have to tell them it doesn't work. They know it doesn't work, but they don't know what to do. Okay? So I'm incrementing. Okay, you know, the sexual sin, okay, that's those people. You know, the drugs, the alcohol, okay. Yeah, maybe some of those used to be, but we're not here anymore. Okay, the religion, okay, I'm getting a little closer. Greed and covetousness, they don't work. Okay, when we covet other things that other people have, we're not happy. It doesn't work. Even if I covet something and I eventually maybe go get a loan and go buy it, I'm still not happy because I got this payment now. So, again, I'm getting a little closer to where we are, okay? Next thing, I'm going to go to religion. I know you all know, at this church, this isn't about religion. This is about relationship. Religion doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I'm going to go through, because I've gone through lots of different churches. I'm going to get a little bit more specific. Self-help. These are things that creep into the church. I don't know why they do. They just do. And I'm 51 years old, and I'm old enough to see that, hey, that was around in the 90s. It's coming back around. So self-help doesn't work. If we don't have Christ getting us through these things, we're going to fail. Okay? And let me go a little bit more. Worldliness in the church doesn't work. One example that comes to mind that I've seen happen, I even saw it come back. I was in a church in Mexico. It's like, I told Melissa, he's saying what we saw 20 years ago in Tempe. Let's be friends with people and win them to Christ. It's like, that don't work. Because when are you going to share Christ with them? We just don't. You know, I'm too good friends. If I share Christ, they won't like me anymore. It doesn't work. You share Christ with love, but you still got to use your mouth and tell them Christ died for you. And if you don't accept him, he has no alternative. You're walking into hell. You have to tell people, but lovingly. Again, the world doesn't need this. The world already has this. They know, the people who are living in sin, they know what this is. They don't need that. But we still need to tell them. Other things that creep in that I've seen, and I've seen this in different churches, but when we live in the past, okay? The Lord's, did you remember when the Lord spoke to Moses? When he said, well, who should I say you are? I am the God of Isaac. I'm sorry, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. Okay, I am, I was, and I am now. I'm not going away. I'm not a God of the Lord's not a God of the past. He doesn't want us living there. I like history. I really do. I read Acts 2. I get excited. It's like, that's so cool. But I don't want to live in Acts chapter 2. I want to see Acts chapter 2 right now in this year. I want to see people get saved and speaking in tongues and are like, I don't know what I just said, but I just said it. And wow. And see people. Okay. I'm going to read in Acts 2:12. So they were all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? I want to hear people say that. I want to hear people get saved and say, that guy was a bad guy. He's saved now. What does this mean? What power is this? Okay. So things that don't work. Don't want to dwell on things that don't work because we don't like things that don't work. But I'm going to hit on something that things that used to work. Okay. God is fresh. Okay. And I'm going to say it's very with a lot of sensitivity. What doesn't work for me might work for you. Okay. I understand that. Sure. There's things that work for Samantha, not for me, or Melissa, not for me. But I've seen things that don't work. All of us seen, I'm old enough to remember the first cell phones. Do you remember the first cell phones? Remember they called them the brick? I work for Motorola. They're ones that invented the cell phone. They look like a brick. Guess what? Those things don't work anymore. Even if you went and bought it and you got, I don't know, maybe you could even find the engineer who designed it. It don't work. And I'm going to tell you, there are things that we've done in the church that used to work, but they don't work anymore. And it's just, I don't want to do this because we all know some things don't work. I saw, we were a church not too long ago, not far from in this area, in this county. And they were doing things that I remember doing that in the church 20-something years ago. Why are we doing that? It really didn't work then. Why are we doing it again? Because we get stuck. We get stuck. Now, I'm not going to, and again, I'm not doing this, but sometimes we got to cover these things. Things that don't work. Okay, if we're singing the same songs we sang 20 years ago, that'll work. I mean, I love the old songs. I even have an old hymnal. When we were up in Flagstaff, I looked at it. I like the old hymns. They're pretty cool, but okay, let's keep going. Let's stay fresh. I'm not saying anything against that. Okay, and let me talk about sometimes it's brothers and sisters in Christ. They get stuck. Do you remember? Let me go back. Let me go back to Luke 5. Because we have to see this. Sometimes even our brothers and sisters in Christ get stuck. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, go back to Luke 5, verse 33. Then they said to him, do you remember? Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? Okay, first of all, let's hit on the Pharisees. This is an easy question. God's people? God's people, the Pharisees? No, Jesus really didn't like these guys. They were religious. Okay, disciples of John, God's people. Yeah, they were looking. They just didn't have the whole picture, right? And I don't want to go there, but you can read Acts chapter 9. Was it? Hold on. Acts chapter 19. Is it Acts chapter 19 when Paul... let's see. Yeah, when Paul kept, it was 18 and 19, when Paul met the people who only knew the baptism of John. They didn't have the whole picture. Okay, right? They were a little confused. They were a little stuck. Okay? And we're going to talk about how to help people get unstuck. Because I get stuck. And these guys have helped me get unstuck. Thank you, guys. You really have helped me a lot. Okay, so going back to Luke 5. So we have the Pharisees, not God's people. Okay? The disciples of John, God's people, but they didn't get to the Holy Spirit. They didn't get the whole thing. And they were kind of stuck in this fasting and praying, right? He said, why don't you guys fast? Okay, I want to ask a question. Does everyone need to fast? Okay. I'm going to answer. I think there's seasons for fasting. I really do. I don't think fasting goes away. I think they're in seasons. I've heard some churches that I love the pastors, but they tell people they need to fast every Sunday. Okay. It's kind of getting stuck. I love fasting's good. We should fast. There are seasons to do it. Okay. So these are the things that it used to work. No, now Pastor Cal and Pastor Barbara said, we need to call a fast. There's order. There's some serious things we need to deal with right now. They call a fast. Let's fast. Okay. But all of a sudden, if now it becomes, well, we got to do this every Sunday. There's just something about not being fresh. It doesn't work. Fasting's good, but it should be fresh. Now if something serious happened and they call fast, let's do it. Because I've done it and it works. And it's fresh. Okay? So here we have, and going back to Luke 5, we have the disciples of John. They were kind of stuck. They were God's people. They were stuck in this. Well, why don't you do this? I'll use the word ritualistically. Okay? It doesn't work. If when we get into ritual, when we get into the have-tos, when we get into this is how Christians do things, you have to do it this way, it doesn't work. Okay? So I went through things that don't work, things that used to work. Okay, hymnals, I can tell you, there was a day and age when hymnals were great. They were needed. They really were. Okay, and these other things, these calling of fastings, again, going back to that old cell phone. Back in the day, that's all they had. It worked, but it doesn't anymore. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about things that work. Okay, what works? Praising the Lord of heaven always works. Always works. Okay. Preaching, proclaiming the word of God always works. Okay. Studying the word of God always works. Healing people always works. Delivering people from demons always works. I've never had a person that received deliverance said, I really didn't need that. I had one, and Melissa was there. This was in Navajo. This lady was so excited she got delivered from demons, she started pulling her girlfriend, saying, you gotta get this. Okay? So, again, things that always work. Prosperity. This is something that I feel Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara have taught so eloquently. Correct prosperity. It works. It really does. God wants to prosper his people. Okay? I'm going to do another one. Joy. Living joyfully always works. Always works. Year-round joyful people. I mean, did you guys see before Mitch and Nina's kids? Oh! And Jessica's kids. That's joy. We should want that. You know, their little funk and little Jacob's belly. Like, oh, I want that. Yeah. That is, oh, I want to be filled with play and fellowship. And the kids get it. Why don't we get it? It always works. I'm going to give another one. And this isn't exhaustive. These are just things that the Lord says, okay, you should have that. Another one, making, creating beauty. Okay, all of us know we were created in the image of the Lord God of heaven. He created everything with the power of his word. We should be surrounded by beautiful things. It's just who we are. And I had like examples like art, music, poetry, industry, creativity. And the list goes on and on. We should be surrounded by beauty because we're his children. Okay? Things that work. Okay? Now I'm going to talk about, but, okay, usually when you say, when people hear that, oh, now you're going to negate everything you said. No, I'm not. I'm just going to say, but now let's do it new ways. Let's do it new and fresh. Do I have to, I love my friend from Chihuahua. He's a great guy. I love him. He's like my best friend. But he told me, my wife hasn't changed her burrito in 26 years. And hasn't changed, and he won't let her change that burrito. And it's like, Lalo, I think it's okay if she changes it a little bit. No, she can't do that. No, I kind of like something just a little different. Okay? In new ways. We should be praising the God of heaven in new ways. That's right? Fresh. I love these songs. I love these songs. And even when one is, oh yeah, I remember that one for a few. It's still fresh and good because you guys are doing it in your way, in a new way. Preaching the word of God, okay? All of us have been to those sermons where they're like, oh my goodness, he's droning, and I just hear it. When's this over? I need to get out of here. No, preaching, you know what it means? Caruso in the Greek? It means articulating the word of God. Articulating the word of God. Preaching means speaking God's word so you get it. Okay? If I preach like a preacher in the 1950s, I may preach a really good sermon. It may, maybe 100 people, 1,000 people got saved when they heard that sermon. But if I preach in like the guy who did in 1950s, people are like, turn me off. Why does he talk like that? Why is it? It was fresh back in 1950s, but we need to be fresh. And the word of God is fresh. Okay? All right. Studying the word of God. Okay? I came from Melissa and I, we were in a good Christian church movement. They really, really got into studying the word of God, Bible studies. Great thing. But do I have to study the Bible like they did 30 years ago? Is there newer ways to do it? Yeah, sure. And one of the things I've learned too is knowledge. You know which is interesting, and I've seen this because I'm older, and I've actually was in a corporate role where I hired people. A lot of people don't realize it. You know why corporations hire fresh graduates? Did you hear what I just said? Fresh graduates. It's because they bring new things. They bring new ways of doing things. There are new ways to study the Bible. And there are new ways, and a lot of it, I don't know why, but sometimes as older people, we get a little stuck. I do. I get a little stuck. I need to be around younger people. I'm not saying I don't need to be around older people. I think, one of the things that these pastors are teaching us is we're all one body. But there is something about, I do need a little bit of fresh. I don't need to be preaching into the drug rehabs like I did 4 years ago. And actually, I don't. Actually, a lot of things I do change. I went there Tuesday. It's like, I'm not doing the things the same way. Okay? Healing. So studying the word. There are fresh ways to do it. I got some ideas if you ever want to talk to me about them. Okay, healing. The world right now, do you know one of the biggest industries in the United States is healthcare? It is. I work for a company in Flagstaff. They made money hand over fist making things because we're not healthy. And do you realize, I'm sure I shared this before, but there are medical devices, there are medications that we can't sell to other nations because they don't have the problems we have. I'm sure Nina knows, yeah. We have a lot of problems with our health. People are waiting to be healed. And these corporations and these medications, and I'm not saying that we should not be a part of it, but they're not the answer. Healing, I saw, and I had prophecy of receiving a healing ministry. I've only seen it a few times, but I saw it one time in Cananea where this guy started to shake, and I was like, I thought it was going to be like a demonic manifestation. And I said, I couldn't say it in Spanish, but I said it in English, no flippy flopping. That ain't going to happen. And the guy got healed. That was so cool. People are waiting to be healed. They really are. Okay? In new ways. Okay, Freedom and Deliverance. Let's talk about that. There's a really neat book that's on the shelf. I'm sure it's still here. Oh, the title's... Pigs in the Parlor. Thanks, Sam. Pigs in the Parlor. It was written like 60 years ago. No, it was written in the 60s. In the 60s. I'm 50 years old, so it's something like that. It's a great book. But guess what? Satan don't sit around and say, oh, you know what? You whooped me 50 years ago. I'm going to let you whoop. He changes. Actually, when I do deliverance in Mexico, I don't do what I did 4 years ago because they're kind of ready. They're ready. They know, oh, this guy liberated 6 people. Okay, well, we're going to get ready. And things are going to change. But the world, people are waiting to be delivered of demons. And I wish Americans were more, I want to say, aware of this. Because most of the stuff, a lot of stuff we see in the news, I mean, come on. People gunning down people for no reason. These are demonic spirits. Okay, there's no explanation. People need deliverance. I love it going to the drug addicts in Mexico because I have people come tell me, I got demons and I need you to throw them out. Okay, I can help you because you're ready. But I have these Americans, you know, I've got this syndrome and I'm taking 13 medications. I can't help you, honey. Okay. So freedom, deliverance, the world is waiting. There are new ways of doing it. Okay. I do want to talk about prosperity because when I walk, remember we did a prayer walk. Nina has to do a prayer walk of these, the homes around this church. And the one thing that I felt is this town used to be very prosperous, very prosperous. I'm looking at these buildings and it's like, you know what? These weren't like slapped up, thrown together homes. These were like made by craftsmen. This community really was very prosperous. And I really feel that there are new ways to generate prosperity. Yes. And the Lord, I mean, we've gotten the prophecies. And I believe there are new ways of generating. Okay, I'm going to say it in two parts because Pastor Calvin will say, hey, he's talking about the golden faucet. No, generating and spreading wealth. Yeah. We're to generate wealth so we can propagate the gospel and bless others. Okay? So I feel very strongly that prosperity is waiting for us to take, and I don't think it's high fruit. I think it's pretty low-hanging fruit. Okay, and joy. I'm going back to joy. How? Can we act like kids again? Can we play? Can we hang around? You know, you hang around babies. That's a lot of fun. I was in Mexico on Tuesday with the drug addicts. I love those people. You know, there's a fellowship that I have, because I've known some of these people for like 4 years. I've known them a long time. So they know who I am. I know who I am. And we fellowship. Can we do that? Can we play and fellowship together? And it doesn't have to look like what it looked like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 weeks ago. Can we just do it? I think we can. I really do. And I think we can be very joyful. Okay, creating beauty. Can we open up areas of art? Okay, one of the things I've learned about the enemy is he's a thief, right? Denise taught this. John 10:10, right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I live in Bisbee. I know the enemy wants to steal art. Because I see his stuff in Bisbee, and that ain't art, and that's of the devil. Okay? There are creative people here. I won't be specific because I may miss somebody, but there are people here who are artists. Okay? And we need to share that beauty with people. Because else everyone's thinking, oh, art's that stuff in old Bisbee. It's disgusting. No, it's beautiful. Okay, music. Okay, I love her. You guys know, and I said this last time I preached it, that this church has a stronghold, an angelic stronghold of praise, right? It does. Hands down. Can we do it publicly? Okay. Wow. Okay. And the list goes on. Okay. So I'm going to go, I'm toward, hold on. Okay. I got a few more minutes. Okay. So fresh, youthful seasons. There's seasons right now. I feel we're in a season. And I shared this with Pastor Cowan and Pastor Barbara. I feel in my heart that what we're going through right now just isn't election mania. I feel there's a season going on in our nation. I feel it. It's a spiritual season. It's a good season where new things are going to happen. And the Lord's waiting. He's waiting to let us let this happen. Okay, so I have some questions that I'm going to ask you guys. Did the Lord Jesus Christ heal and deliver the sick and demon-possessed the same way each time? No. Okay. Did he pray the same way every time? No. Did he reveal himself the same way? Okay. Well, how about Paul? No, he didn't. Okay. Did he preach the same way? No. Okay, the Lord's looking for something fresh. He wants to use us. He's sending this couple out because he has something fresh. And you know, the one thing that the Lord has impressed upon me is something I need to do. I need to stay away from things that are rigid. That say, oh, in this church, we have to do it this way. I stay away from that. Okay? And we should grow in our love toward him. Okay, I'm talking about us being fresh, but let's talk about our relationship with the Lord. It should be fresh. When we wake up in the morning, it shouldn't be like, oh, Lord, how are you? I got to go do my... No, no, no. It should be new every day. And relationships can be new every day. You know, the enemy, again, he's a thief. He wants to say, oh, you know what? You would be really fresh if you go get another woman. How ridiculous. No, I'm serious. No, they're people I know. They're on their third marriage. Okay, that ain't fresh. Can I tell you something's fresh? Melissa and I are going to be grandparents. That's fresh. I've never been a grandparent before. Our relationship just got real fresh. Oh, you mean I'm going to get to play with kids like that are my grandkids? Oh, that's so cool. That's how the Lord works. That's fresh. That's good. And that's, okay. And again, grow in love toward him. When you're in love with somebody, you want to be around them. You want it to be new. Okay? Growing and changing is part, okay, I'm going to say it's real slow. Growing and changing is part of productive living. Okay, the world will say, oh yeah, yeah, I agree. Corporations will tell you, oh yeah. Growing and changing is a part of productive living. Okay, I'm going to back this up with scripture. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4. Which is interesting. I didn't dig this up for the first time. Several of you guys have preached on this too. I'm just doing it fresh. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Actually, 11. This is Pastor Barber hit on this Sunday. And he himself, this is the Lord, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's fresh. That's fresh. That's growing to be complete. Right? That's, we're not done. I love Paul. Paul, he could just articulate this so fresh. That's where we need to be. We need to be that perfect man or woman. What? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're not going to get there, but we need to go that direction. We need to grow and change. Okay? So I'm going to end this with, okay, these are things I came up with. I have scripture to back it up. I don't think it's exhaustive, but these are the ones that I was able to find of how to stay fresh. Okay? So, and the Lord has done this a lot to me. He has told me, son, complete the assigned tasks. Okay? None of us like unfinished business. And we're to complete our assigned tasks. Okay? And sometimes we don't like doing them. Right? Sometimes we get assignments and I don't have to do this. So I have an assignment at my house. I'm rewiring my house. And I don't like attics. I don't know about you, but the attic is only like this high at the highest point. It's dirty and dusty and I don't like it. But I have to do it because every time Samantha turns on a space heater, the lights go dim. I got to do it. Okay, that's an assigned task I have to do. I don't want to do it. But when I'm up in that attic, the Lord's speaking to me because there ain't no one else up there. And I have to complete that task. He's just telling me, don't leave unfinished business. Finish the task. And then you can move on. One thing I've learned about finished business is when you're finished, you can now fully engage in the next opportunity, right? When the so-called house is put in order, you can do amazing things. But when things are all unfinished, you can't finish. You can't go to the next one. Okay? So again, this is not exhaustive. So the scripture I got on that was 2 Timothy 2, 4. Hold on. I hope these fit together. 2 Timothy 2, 4. 2 Timothy is great because it's an older man talking to a younger man. Right? Paul talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 4. 2 Timothy 2, 4. Not there yet. Sorry. Didn't have this marked. 2 Timothy 2, 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Pastor Calvin taught on this. Okay. Get entangled. Okay. The reason I'm having to rewire my house is because it's all tangled. They wired it like 50 years ago, and he went like from here to here, here to here, to here to here to here. Samantha knows this. It's all tangled up, and I need to cut things out. I need to cut things out. I need to complete things so I can go to the next task. Okay? Okay. How to stay fresh? Complete assigned tasks. Next one. Seek out new opportunities. Okay? And I'm not saying that in the flesh. Obviously, be mindful of the Holy Spirit calling you. Okay, we all know Paul got called to Macedonia. Okay, the Lord has new opportunities. But if we're not ready, if we're all entangled in the web, he can't give it to us because we'll fail. Okay? Seek out new opportunities. Okay? That's actually, the verse I got was in 2 Timothy also. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Okay? Be diligent. Seek it out. Okay? Okay. Here's another one. How to stay fresh is live by example consistent with Scripture. Okay? We have two great pastors here that do that for us. They live by example consistent with the Scripture. Thank you, guys. And so, the scripture reference I had was actually in Acts 18. This is when Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla met Paul, and he had to set them straight. Okay, people are waiting to be set straight, but they just need to know that what you're saying is real, and you live it, and you do it. I need to be set straight. When the Lord brought us here, I needed some stuff set straight because things weren't working. These guys helped set things straight. Scriptural example, godly living. Okay? So, I just have two more. How to stay fresh. Cut out what doesn't work. Okay? Cut out what doesn't work. And so much of the stuff that hinders us, it's not from the Lord. Cut out the things that don't work. And I got to and, because I don't want to end with a negative. Cut out the stuff that doesn't work and build on what does work. Okay? So I got Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. "Not that I've already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. For one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Sometimes, you know what cutting the things that don't work is? Forget the past. Okay, the little voice that says, you know, you really messed up. Throw that out. Don't listen to it. The Lord, that's not from the Lord. Throw it out. Okay, cut out what doesn't work and build on what does. Okay, last one I have is don't copy others and expect the same results. I see this, and it just doesn't work. I see people, even if I followed Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara around all day for a month, for a year, and I did everything exactly how they did it, it probably wouldn't work for me because it's not fresh, okay? And I love Christian literature. I love the Charisma magazine. I just know there are some people, when they read it, and they're like, "Hey, it worked for Bill Johnson, it'll work for me." Well, it did for Bill because it was fresh when Bill did it. Don't try to copy it. The Lord, He's waiting to give us new stuff. I have lots of examples. Okay, so, okay, this is a personal thing that the Lord has told me how to stay fresh. Okay. I preach, I teach, I exhort, I do deliverance, I do prayer. But the Lord has told me, this is not for you guys, but this is me. He gave me a verse of 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And basically what He's saying is go deeper into people's lives. Okay? That's where I need to be fresh. I need to, when I go to these drug addicts in Mexico, I can't do what I did 4 years ago and just preach. I need to get deeper into their lives. And 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us." And that's the one thing I've learned in ministry that's kept me fresh, is love people and give them your heart. Give them your lives. The world will tell you, what are you doing? Do you know where those people have been? Yeah, I do. I seen the tracks on Rigo's arm. I know he was shooting heroin. But I need to get into these people's lives, because they are waiting for me to, how do I do this? I'm stuck. I don't know how to do it. Okay. Closing examples, then I'll end. Okay. Do you want old food or new food? Kind of like my tortillas. We want new, right? We don't want a filet mignon that Eric picked up off the street. No, I want something fresh. Okay. And do you want old or new water? Okay. I have an example. Okay. This is, and then I'll end here. Okay. We've been ministering for a couple of years in Chihuahua and several years in Southern Sonora. And Denise knows this, and a lot of you do too, that a lot of the irrigation, a lot of the agriculture, rich, rich area, comes from canals, right? The water, it's irrigated from canals, okay? I have some pictures, and I use these because the drug addicts, some of these guys come from these areas, so they really know. Okay, I have some pictures of the canals in Sonora. I took one picture here. This one's in Tessia, and this one's in Huatabampo. And those of you who've ever been to Huatabampo know that they drain their sewage into the canals. And everyone knows that. It's disgusting. So here's pictures of the canals in Chihuahua. There's a family swimming in the canal. And there's another canal that's flowing. The water is crystal clear. Why? Because the water moves in the canals, in these canals. And I'm not saying all the canals in Chihuahua are this way. These are the ones that I know of, where my friends live, and I walk out them, and I put my hand in the water, and they're clean because the water moves. The water's fresh. You go to Huatabampo, and Samantha will tell you, you hold your nose when you go around the outer, right? You do. I mean, we're like, whoa. I need to go to Huatabampo. That's the beach we like to go to, but you got to go through Huatabampo, and it stinks because the water doesn't move, and there's bad stuff in the water. So, church, me, let's stay fresh. Let's move with the Spirit. Let's become like new wine. And the Lord will bless us and bless those around us. Let me pray, and I'll end. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you to take any words that were not of you that came from my mouth. Ask you to bless these people, especially bless Eric and Denise. Ask you, Lord Jesus, continue to fill this church with your prophecy, with your word, with your power. Lord, we just want to be fresh. We want to be your servants. We ask you, Lord Jesus, give us that infilling that you gave the believers in Acts chapter 2. We want more and more of you. We praise you, we love you, we honor you. It's in your holy name, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen.
I want fresh.
Me too.
Thank you. Fresh, fresh, fresh.